morning to all of you. So glad to have you with us today. This is our annual Christmas service. So we do things a lot differently today. There will be no Sunday school, Bible study afterwards, and no lunch at noon or no evening service because we have family in town and that sort of thing. And so we're going to begin today with O Come All Ye Faithful, page 145. Let's stand and sing together all three verses. Shake each other's hands. You may listen to the music play.
How's your year going, playing in that family?
Oh, thanks for having me.
the mother is my son. Her brother's my son's best friend.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's awesome.
Howdy, sir.
Good morning, Christine. Good to see you.
Nifty tie.
Oh, yeah, I wear it once a year.
Did your wife pick that out?
It was a team member.
I guess I'll have some candy. And that's my Christmas.
I know you.
Morning is on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to see it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. So if you're just tuning in to the radio, you are listening to WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. To our regularly broadcast, live broadcast service. And we're so glad to have you with us. And we will be doing fun things today. And so if you are listening to the radio, and if you have a Christmas carol that you would like to sing, if it's in our hymnal, we will sing it if you call us in and let us know what it is. So 231-347-2038. Now that you're scrambling for a piece of paper and a pen, I'll say it again, maybe one more time. 231-347-2038. And Carol will take your call and take down the name of the song that you would like to sing today. If you're not on the radio and you're here in the building, we'll let you do the same thing. So you can't call Carol, but you'll be able to select a song as well, one of your favorites. You can be looking in the hymnal, but have you not sung for a while? The Bible begins with the allegation that God is a big mean jerk. God let Satan say that to Eve. That was, Satan's charge to Eve. If God doesn't care about you, he wants you to be stupid forever. And so you ought to eat the apple or whatever it was, Eve, and become as smart as he is, because he doesn't like you. So they sinned. In response to that, God said, I will send a descendant of Eve to bring you back to me. But that's all they knew for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. That's all they knew. And so they wondered, what would he be like? Where would he be from? Would he be born to a Maharaja in India? Would he be born in a far-off country like South America that they'd never heard of before? Eve wondered who he would be. Abel wondered who he would be. Methuselah wondered who he would be. Enoch wondered who he would be. And then Abraham came on the scene, and God told Abraham that he would have that boy in his family. But even with Abraham, even after that revelation to Abraham, they didn't know much. Is he going to come with vast clouds of angels? Is he going to have armies? Is he going to be a knight? Is he going to be a great king? And then God came to David and said, he's going to be in your family. Well, the son of a Hebrew king, he's going to be royalty. We knew it all along. And then David had Solomon and exalted Solomon to the throne. And Solomon is wealthy and handsome and wise and has influence and power. He's perceptive. This is the one. Everyone would have thought that. Until Solomon married 999 wives too many and worshiped demons and fell in lots of awful ways. Oh, he's not the one. 200 years after David, Isaiah gave us the gospel of Jesus in the Old Testament that explains the ministry of the descendant of man. And so our guys are going to explain today what Isaiah told us about the coming baby in the manger. Pray, will you come and begin our time together as we look into the Bible together?
This morning, I want you to think about the most wonderful gift you've ever received. As you think about it, what is it about the gift that made it so wonderful? Perhaps it's the value of the gift. Perhaps it's the usefulness of the gift. Perhaps it's both, or perhaps it's neither. But one thing you probably did think about was the person that gave you the gift. It's the person behind the gift that makes it so wonderful. As Pastor noted earlier in Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." We see a gift. "The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." One thing we see from this verse is that we all receive a wonderful gift. The Hebrew word for wonderful is pronounced pele, which is related to the word miracle, or amazing, marvelous, or extraordinary. Think about that for a moment. One of the names of Jesus is based on the word miracle, or miraculous. As we think about miracles, we see miracles all throughout the Bible. Excuse me. In Genesis 12, an elderly couple had a baby. In Psalm 78, we see a recollection of all the miraculous things God did to provide for the children of Israel in the wilderness. We see he divided the sea and made a way for them to pass through on dry land. We see he made the waters to pile up on a heap on either side. He led the Israelites by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them water to drink. He opened the doors of heaven and gave them manna so they could eat. We see later in 1 Kings chapter 17, a jar of flour and a jug of oil stayed full until the time of famine passed. We see in 2 Kings a grown man being healed of leprosy after being told to dip 7 times in a river. We see in Daniel 3, 3 men walking in a fiery furnace, but not alone, but with God, and came out without even the smell of smoke on them. Focusing on the life of Jesus, we see his birth was according to biblical truth and was miraculous in many ways. We see a miraculous conception. The child was found with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that is. We see a miraculous union with God. In Philippians chapter 2, God took upon human flesh and dwelt among us. We see a miraculous fulfillment of prophecy. About 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah the prophet foretold of these events. Miracles were also part of Jesus' ministry. He brought a man that was dead for 3 days back to life. He made the blind to see. He healed the sick. He fed thousands with a few loaves of bread. The wind and sea obeyed his voice. And we could go on and on. There are many other miracles that Jesus did. But here's the thing I want you to think about. Our salvation is a miracle that God the Father provided because he loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. God still does miracles today. Whoever you are, you need a miracle in your life. We are all needy people. Perhaps you're bearing a burden that is so heavy you don't know how you'll make it through. Perhaps you're experiencing pain from the emptiness of losing a loved one. I don't know what it is that you're carrying, but God does. God wants to help you. He's reaching out his hand to you. He's asking you to reach up and take his hand. God reached down, now it's your turn to reach up. Here's God's greatest miracle in action. Pastor somewhat alluded to this earlier. God originally created us to be able to have fellowship with him. In other words, he desires to be our friend. Sin entered the human race and separated us from God. But it didn't end there. God is all about restoration. He sent us a wonderful gift. His son Jesus, who took the penalty for sin upon himself, and therefore restored the ability for us to have friendship and fellowship with God. God offers you the miraculous gift of restoration today. Listen to the testimony of a man who had his relationship with God restored. The gentleman's name was Wally Bronner. He is the founder of Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. And he had this said about him. Wally's final wish. Always a man with a big smile and quick wit, Wally quipped near the end of his life that he was preparing to go to heaven to make sure the decorative touches are in place. However, he knew that everything would be in order for his arrival when his battle with cancer ended on April 1st, 2008. Just days before, on Good Friday, he wrote these words. Today's Good Friday was an especially good Friday when our dear family in prayer agreed to the reality that our loving Lord and Savior, the Christ of Christmas, is ready to receive me into his heavenly kingdom where all believers in the Creator God would be with him forever and ever. Nothing could be greater. Maybe you feel that only a miracle in your life can help. Well, you are correct. Only a miracle in your life can help the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach up and take us in today.
Thank you, Uncle Ray. We appreciate that so much.
Howdy. Merry Christmas, y'all. We're going to turn to page 144 and sing How Great Our Joy. And I want you guys to be thinking of your favorite Christmas hymns, because that's what we're going to do shortly. What verses should we do? Let's do 1 and 4 of 144. How great our joy.
Morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to again praise you, God, for your wisdom and glory that you bring to us through your Son. Lord, we are eternally grateful. We sometimes lack understanding a lot of times and purpose, but Lord, we know that your word clarifies things, and we just pray that you can help your word here to continue on this theme, Lord, from Isaiah. God, just bless our ears with some understanding in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we know, some 700 years before the incarnation of Jesus, Isaiah wrote in 9:6 this verse that we've gone through here, or 700 years. Anyways, I'm continuing on with the Jesus is called the coming Messiah, wonderful counselor. In some translations, there's no comma there, and it's just combined.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the Hebrew, it kind of makes sense that it's a descriptor that combines both of those. Ray mentioned that word pele, wonderful. It's a miraculous. It's some ways in Hebrew it's considered called the wonder of the counselor, and so they put the adjective after it. And anyways, the two words combined say pele yoates. And this word pele first appears, I believe, when Moses, in the parting of the Red Sea, and afterwards they were singing the song of Moses, and they were just amazed that it describes a miraculous event. And that continues, that it says that this counselor will be above and beyond what is an ordinary earthly counsel. It describes a counsel that exceeds expectations. And as we continue on, we see in the Old Testament a lot of examples when the Word of God and His counsel is revealed in prophets, like in the book of Daniel. And the wise men of Nebuchadnezzar hadn't a clue what was going on with the dreams, and Daniel was able to seek the counsel of the Lord and receive a miraculous translation of those dreams. And it's written in the scriptures years before the Messiah. And also the dreams of Joseph and dealing with Pharaoh and how he was able to seek the counsel of God, and how above and beyond, it was on a higher plane than anyone in earthly counsel or wise men can understand. We see these continuous examples in Joshua seeking the Lord before going into battle and receiving miraculous counsel that only God would be able to provide. And there's countless examples in Proverbs and Psalms full of
the kind of wisdom that only comes from the wonderful counselor or the wonder of the counselor. And things like lean not on your own understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we see that in the incarnation, the word Emmanuel, God with us, and how some examples that show how Jesus fulfilled these words of Isaiah in Luke chapter 2. Jesus, at a young age of 12, was with the leaders of the church and the temple there, I guess it's called the temple, and they were astonished at the wisdom, how he was able to ask and answer questions. And many were astonished at that time, wondering, how could someone at such a young age know so much? And as he grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, the grace of God was upon him. And later on in Matthew chapter 7, people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes, etc., and the lawyers of the time. He continually would answer questions and astonish people. In John chapter 7, people murmured about him. Is this the Christ? Certainly a prophet because of the miracles. Officers of the temple who were sent by the temple priest to apprehend Jesus quoted, "Never a man spoke like this man." So we see this paleoates in Christ as it's manifest from the Sermon on the Mount to answering tricky questions of Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers. The wisdom of Jesus is on a higher plane and out of this world. He fulfills this prophecy of Isaiah and becomes the counselor we can trust in the right decisions and gives us exceedingly beyond our expectations. And I've seen this in my own life. Before the Lord drove me to himself, and my life was mentally, emotionally, and physically was a train wreck, and he turned my life around. So, you know, my testimony bears witness to his counsel is above and beyond what any earthly counsel you could ever receive. Amen.
Thank you for that, Dan. Now, again, that's a good reminder. The Bible is not just another book. We have lots of books. But it is the revelation of God to us. And it is life-changing because it is miraculous. Annika is going to sing for us now. And we will let you, I don't know if she's going to explain what she's doing, but I would ask you and try to figure out what language she's singing in. Kids, can you do that?
Well, in a way that like that, maybe I won't explain it. But so yesterday, I was listening to the radio, and someone requested this song. And they, okay, we got it, this song. We're going to do this recording by Pavarotti. And, well, Pavarotti did it the exact way that I'm going to do it, so if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. So enjoy.